It's my huge pleasure to host Dr. Shafak Sikander, a personal friend of mine and someone who I admire a lot for her work on Penfield. That's true. I love it. I love you. You know that. So, Dr. Shafak, thank you so much for being here with us at the COPPA 2003.
Thank you, Key. Always a pleasure to see you and be with you and share my science with you.
And share actually your science with everybody else here. This meeting has been amazing, and people have been listening. People comment on your talks, and they are so excited about your really interesting work regarding pain and with some few interaction with anesthesia. But still, you know, there are some very interesting piece of work that are coming out from your work.
I mean, I'm really pleased that people are interested and see the relevance, because especially when for a meeting that's so focused on anesthesiology, I think it's very important to be able to bridge fields together, because sometimes we learn a lot from other fields and we can apply it to our own. And I think that's the best way to grow and develop. It's always good to have focused meetings and focused talks, but having a little bit of diversity in the speakers, I think hopefully can benefit many of the residents and the physicians that are here.
Yeah, I totally agree. Basic science is something that is the basic for the clinical assistance. I mean, how we care patients.
Yeah.
So it's very important. And one thing that you've been working through is fibromyalgia patients, and you have some very interesting developments on how neutrophils may play a role on how these patients develop their chronic pain. How could, I mean, what made you to think about study the roles of the neutrophils on chronic pain?
Well, a bit serendipitous. It wasn't really an intentional pursuit of looking in neuroimmunology. My background is very much in pharmacology. That's my place of comfort. And I don't know very much about immunology, but a few years ago, I moved to a new institute at BARTS, so the William Harvey Research Institute, which is full of amazing leading immunologists, and I realized that there is so much that we don't know about pain mechanisms on the neuroimmune axis. So the way the nervous system can influence an immune response, but also the way immune cells can influence neuronal activity. There's a lot of open-ended questions there, and there's a world to explore. So it was sort of by chance that it took my interest. I'm always up for a challenge to learn and grow. And to take advantage of my environment. So the way we actually really came about it was just by chance. We've been working on trying to model fibromyalgia in small rodents, so in mice.
Mm-hmm.
And in our mouse model of fibromyalgia, what we found was that when we transferred blood cells to naive from mice that had fibromyalgia-like pain to naive recipient mice, we were able to
another one.
Exactly. So these are very crude adoptive transfer experiments that seem a bit Victorian, but they work, right? They're really good in terms of proof of concept. And when we have the capacity to flow sort cells and really look at individual cell types. And what we found was that when we took neutrophils from mice that had chronic pain and injected them into naive recipient mice, we were able to reproduce
mimetize
a very robust mechanical hypersensitivity. That opened a lot of doors and a lot of questions for us to try and understand what are pathological neutrophils, because usually they're so quick and short-lived cell types that it's a little bit surprising that they might have a role in a chronic condition.
At the beginning, did you feel like, maybe my finds are wrong, or...
Always. That's just me as a person. I doubt everything, and I have to double check in many ways. And so, these are findings that we validated using several approaches, right? So, we did the gain of function studies where we transfer neutrophils, we can transfer pain. What happens when we get rid of neutrophils, if we pharmacologically deplete them, can we then remove pain? Yes. And then we're trying to look and where are the neutrophils? Can we actually see them near the neurons? Yes.
So there's amazing.
Yeah, there's lots of ways of trying to validate our findings just to be a little bit more confident. But what is really fascinating is that we know that the neutrophils are trafficked to sensory ganglia. So you would inject So you inject them intravenously, right? So they could go anywhere in the bloodstream. Uh-huh. And we kind of thought they probably just end up getting stuck in the lung. But they don't. I mean, I think some do. So we're trying to do some IVUS imaging right now. And that's not data I could really present.
So you have a label, the neutrophils?
Yes. So we have the capacity to label them with the radioisotope and then to do live imaging where we can actually see, once we inject the neutrophils, where are they going in the whole body? And those are experiments that we're doing right now. And that's work that Sara Kasheria has optimized. So she's the lead author on the paper that we recently published on the role of neutrophils in fibromyalgia pain, and she's continuing some of this work, and we're putting together the second paper now. But what she did see was that when we actually look at this peripheral sensory ganglia, the dorsal root ganglia, we actually see neutrophils infiltrating the ganglia. So this is de novo infiltration. These are not normally resident cells in sensory ganglia. So something is encouraging them, like a chemotactic cue, to come into the ganglia and then do something naughty where they sensitize neurons. To drive hypersensitivity.
Besides the pain itself, did you find any other effects that these neurons may play in this healthy mice that get this neutrophil transfusion, or pain was the main fact that you have seen?
We're very focused on sensory function and pain. And it's not to say that I do think that there could be some immunological perturbance by introducing exogenous cells. I mean, the body, any body of any species, is usually under some homeostatic control, right? So maybe some of those effects are mitigated for. But we're so focused on sensory function that we were...
You didn't look at other things.
Look, in terms of normal sort of behavioral outcomes, the mice seem perfectly normal. It's just the evoked pain behavior. So there's no spontaneous pain behavior. Okay. It's really evoked pain behavior that was affected. We didn't see any changes in affective responses. So we are able to look at affective pain behavior in animals using certain behavioral paradigms. We didn't see any major changes there, which does suggest that, you know, when we have a disease like fibromyalgia, where there is this huge psychological component and affective modulation of pain as well, that's important. Well, actually, maybe the neutrophils are important for driving the sensory dysfunction, but when it comes to psychological disturbances, you know, depression, anxiety, all the comorbidities that fibromyalgia patients will present with, maybe there's other factors driving those. And maybe they are just comorbidities, right? Maybe the driving factor, we still don't know what comes first. Is it the depression or the pain? And how do those interplay? So people are very different from mice. The mouse cortex is not equivalent to the human cortex. So we have to always take animal studies with a grain of salt, which is why when we talk about the conscious experience of pain, addressable in a human being that can vocalize and articulate what they're feeling in terms of their emotional experience as well. But in animals, we're very heavily reliant on sensory processing and sensory thresholds to tell us about
Nociception itself, and not pain as an experience.
Yeah, we have to infer that when we're looking at when we're looking at withdrawal reflexes and withdrawal thresholds,
like
these
are
pain reflexes.
To the von Frey filament.
And, you know, and it's not to undermine some of the beautiful studies looking at affective processing of pain. It's just, a lot of the affective processing of pain in preclinical studies is focused on subcortical activity, which is completely fine because a lot of these subcortical regions and networks that are involved in driving pain have been evolutionarily conserved. So you see very similar structures, you know, when we talk about the limbic system, for example, that's been evolutionarily conserved across species. It's wonderful, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very helpful to have rodents as a model.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that I saw during your presentations and this paper that just was published is that you could even when you transfer plasma or neutrophils from, actually neutrophils from fibromyalgia patients to rodents, you could also have a pain behavior on these naive patients, naive animals. So it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it hits home, right? Because what we were first doing is that we were really trying to test and validate mechanisms using the animal model. But I think, you know, our lab is very focused on clinical outcomes, right? So we always want to have that translational perspective. Yes, we do some clinical studies as well. So maybe it makes it easier for us to always have that in the back of our minds. But, you know, we're in a fortunate position where we have wonderful colleagues in the pain clinic at St. Bartholomew's and at Arts NHS Trust in the rheumatology clinic, where we have access to patients that have either primary or secondary fibromyalgia. And we can link that with, you know, quantitative sensory testing. And, you know, we can test these patients, but also acquire blood samples from these patients as well. Neutrophils are very tricky cells. You know, you've got to be very careful with them. They get activated very easily. So it really helps to have a hospital right next door to the lab where we can take the blood very carefully back to the lab and then test what happens. But I really think it hits home, and it is like the ultimate proof of concept when you have human samples and you're showing an effect in animals or in vitro. That really shows that this is a clinically relevant mechanism. So we were really pleased to see that translation, and that's made us very, very convinced of the data, and we're really excited to continue this.
So
this
when
work.
You take a blood sample from patients who, I mean, for healthy volunteers, the same didn't happen to the animals.
No, so it seems to be very specific, a specific effect of neutrophils being derived from patients that have high pain scores. So we've only looked at patients that have either primary or secondary fibromyalgia. Now, whether distinct mechanisms happen in primary or secondary disease, we're exploring now. And whether there's a similar mechanism in other chronic pain conditions, we don't know. We don't know that yet. We were focused on fibromyalgia in the first instance. So, yeah.
There is something else that you'd like to tell us?
Oh, in general?
Or related to this wonderful study. Because, you know, you always make, almost makes me feel like, my gosh, fibromyalgia maybe is a transmissible disease, because someone can get a fibromyalgia from some other blood transfusion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's you know, I don't want to scaremonger in the sense, because we have no evidence of this whatsoever. And, you know, neutrophils are very short-lived cells, right? So that's very important to remember, is that when we do even adoptive transfer to animals, you know, the mechanical hypersensitivity isn't lasting, you know, for months and months in the mouse. So, you know, neutrophils are very short-lived cells. In pathological, so normally their life cycle is a few days, right? In pathological conditions, there's many lines of evidence suggesting that can be, you know, more than a week.
Oh, okay.
But it's, we're not talking about years. And patients that have fibromyalgia have had this disease
for
it's a year, chronic condition
for, the, yeah, for
years.
The, all their life.
So,
actually,
you know, so we really think that it's about, you know, some, it's most likely to be a developmental change in the way neutrophils are produced. This could be at the transcriptional level, for example. So what we're doing at the moment is that we would really like to understand how neutrophils are different when from, you know, bone marrow, spleen, lymph nodes, versus the ones that are in blood in mice that have persistent pain. Obviously, we can't access all those tissues in our patients, but what we can do is look at neutrophil profiles, you know, proteomic profiles of neutrophils, even neutrophil-derived extracellular vesicles. We can compare what the proteomic profiles are from neutrophils that
healthy
in
individuals
versus, you know, individuals that are pain-free, you know. Healthy, I guess, is a very big umbrella term, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, at least pain-free individuals.
Very interesting. So I would like to really say thank you for coming all the way from London to be with us at the Copa and to share your wonderful work with the Brazilian anesthesiologists in this Congress. And I hope that we can host you other times in the next future.
Thank you so much. This Congress is very exciting. I'm always so happy to be in Brazil. I always feel so welcome, even though I speak very little Portuguese, except for certain food that I like. I'm developing a real taste for certain Brazilian treats.
Pão de queijo.
Yeah. Can't get enough. So yeah, I love being here. So thank you for the very kind invitation and for letting me share some of the exciting projects we have going on in the lab.
Thank you very much.